620 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago in the South. Storms, including reported tornadoes, leave a path of damage and destruction in southeast Alabama and into Georgia. This Eufaula, Alabama resident wrote it out.
I ran in the room to get my little girl. I kept calling her name. She wouldn't wake up. I'm like, come on, it's a tornado out here.
CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
The tornadic element will likely die down over the next several hours, but the damaging wind element will actually increase the risk for winds gusting to 80 or 90 miles an hour. That particular portion of the storm system in Mississippi right now will push east through Alabama and Georgia.
U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland speaks for the first time since the historic indictment of former President Trump. CBS's Robert Costa.
As former President Trump continues to falsely claim that President Biden is directing cases for the Justice Department.
Crooked Joe Biden's weaponized Department of Injustice.
Attorney General Merrick Garland today defended appointing special counsel Jack Smith and touted his department's independence.
As I said when I appointed Mr. Smith, I did so because it underscores the Justice Department's commitment to both independence and accountability.
One day after the historic arraignment on charges, including illegally hoarding classified documents at his Florida estate, Trump and his legal team are arguing he was allowed to take the documents after leaving the White House.
The Republican field for president is getting larger now that Miami Mayor Francis Suarez has filed paperwork with the Federal Election Commission. University of Virginia political analyst Larry Sabato.
Often they're running for vice president, or they're running for the cabinet, or they're running to get better known so they can get a media contract or a book deal, or run for statewide office, being better known. There are lots of reasons for doing this. It's impossible to say what Mayor Suarez's reasons are.
A major religious denomination maintains its stance against women pastors.
Southern Baptist Convention delegates meeting in New Orleans have refused to welcome Saddleback Church in Southern California back into its fold. An appeal by the megachurch over its February ouster for having women pastors was rejected. A similar appeal by a much smaller church with a woman pastor in Kentucky was also rejected.
A hands-off approach by the Federal Reserve when it comes to its key interest rate. It remains unchanged around 5.1% after more than a year of rate hikes.
Today we decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged and to continue to reduce our securities holdings.
But Fed Chair Jerome Powell says future rate hikes are likely. This is CBS News.
Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. In short, a lot of things. Bundle today at progressive.com.
Everything that you've ever seen with Miranda Lambert on it, I have my finger on the pulse of what it is. Out of Wind, I've seen every article of clothing. I've spent hours and hours sending inspirations. I've sent clothes that I love and fabrics, and I'm involved in every single garment that you see. It's important to me that it is an extension of my music, and it's an extension of who I am. I always want it to stay as honest as my music.
Idlewind at Boot Barn.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. More than 7,000 truck accidents happen every year in Wisconsin. These accidents can be devastating, resulting in severe damage and trauma, often more severe than a regular car accident. Gingras Thompson & Wachs can help. They'll assist you not only with the driver of the semi, but also the trucking and insurance companies, making sure you receive the compensation you deserve.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 ELK scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Yeah, going to get to the whole Trump circus, going to get to all of that. Going to get thoughts on the Trump defense, all of it. Trust me, we will not go through the program without bringing up something about Donald Trump's crimes. I guarantee you. But I got to start here because this shows how broken our system is. Like, we got a lot of problems in this country, a lot of problems. So where do Republicans spend their time in the House? Where do they prioritize their time? Well, yesterday, the Republicans in the House Appropriations Committee, they've adopted a new funding bill. They've adopted some new amendments to funding our VA. And what is that? Well, sorry, no gender-affirming care. No, can't do that. And no abortions. No, can't do that. And, just to add little sprinkles on top, a little glitter, if you will, they're going to ban the rainbow flag. No, children cannot have rainbow flags. And you go, do you have nothing better to do? Is this a huge problem at the VA? Is this happening a lot? Are there a lot of soldiers seeking gender-affirming care? And if there are they not of sufficient age to make decisions? You know, they did defend the Constitution after all. Should not all protections be, available to them? Evidently not. But, you know, again, not surprising that our Republican friends are going to waste our time, waste our days, all the while, pointing fingers at Democrats for not getting anything done. Also today, the fun little bit, they're going to go after Adam Schiff. And I found this interesting that 20 Republicans, I found it interesting, there were 20 Republicans with some bit of courage to say, what? You're going to sue Adam Schiff for what was it? I think it was It was $16 million because he had the audacity to investigate Trump's crimes. The audacity. How dare they? How dare they? How dare they do their job? And this is one of those things where you just go, at some point, don't Democrats have to just come out and say, look at these clowns. Look at this clown show. It should not even be, 2024 shouldn't even be a race. Working people should be watching what Republicans are doing in the House and watching what they're doing in state houses across this country and going, why? How is this making our lives better? How is this putting food on the table? lowering the cost of education for our kids. How is this going to put gas in the gas tank? How is this going to do any of those things? And it's not. So while, you know, the Republicans are over here doing dumb stuff, I happen to come across this Oxfam report that looks at, you know, where we stand in the world, where workers stand. It's titled, Where Hard Work Doesn't Pay Off. And they go through and they look at all of the 38 countries that are on this list. They look at the worker policies, like, you know, wage policies like minimum wage, unemployment. They look at worker protections like equal pay, protections on the job, occupational stuff, protections from sexual harassment, parental leave, all kinds of things like that. They look at the right to organize. Is there harassment in the workplace? They look at collective bargaining rights. They look at the right to strike. They look at all of these things, sectorial bargaining, and they compile this stuff. And the top 10 countries, and I don't think there'll be much surprise, we're not in it. I know a lot of people have to thump the chest, we're number one. No. No, we are not. Slovenia, number one. Slovenia, number one. Followed by Sweden, France, Portugal, Italy, Iceland, Denmark, the Netherlands, Finland, and Norway. You know, we're not number one. Not even close to number one. You know how far not close to number one we are? How far down this list? Let me put it this way. At least Colombia, Costa Rica, Mexico, South Korea, and Chile are below us. We're tied with Turkey for 32nd. Again, we're number one. Not so much. And this is where, again, I come back to the moment that we had better have politicians really out there thumping for working class priorities, thumping on how to get the working class back on the side of Democrats. Conservative Democrats, oh, fine. You know, moderate Republicans, great. You know, but bringing workers back to the Democratic Party by pursuing policies that are going to help workers. I mean, that's the reality. We already know what this, and we found this out when we did our Working Class Heroes tour last year, when we went into solidly red areas and started talking about, you know, what about good wage jobs? What about strong unions? What about health care? What about all of these things that Democrats used to stand for and still do? They got to get out there and fight for them, though. They got to get out there and stop with the extreme stuff. Stop with stop. Bread and butter. It's about the kitchen table. And on the divisive stuff, somebody said, well, what about abortion? Well, abortion, the majority of the country is with us on abortion. Safe and legal. I say it all the time. I'm not pro-abortion. I'm pro-safety. I don't want my daughters dying in an alley. But we should be moving to policies that make people want to bring children into this world. That's where Democratic policy should be hammering. The polling is overwhelmingly on the side of abortion being legal. But it's got to look like Democrats, and look, this is because there's a media imbalance. Republicans have control of all of the right-wing media that they got. Massive. In fact, a little tooting of the horn today. We were included in Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100. We were included in one of the top 100 talk shows in the country. And I went through to see how many people would be, I don't know, center left-ish. And out of the 100, maybe 10. And this is where you go, there's an imbalance in talking to people. And it's something we got to do an awful lot more of, and on issues that are important to working people. To me, it's that simple. And we've got to highlight idiot politicians like Robin Voss, the speaker of the Wisconsin House. You know, on the abortion issue, he said, you know, think how many Americans would be alive if our workforce, doing things to make America great, if we hadn't had easy abortion access. He's basically saying we need more people for cheap labor. That's it. You know, we just need to, it's the old Tom DeLay thing from a number of years back. And you go, okay, well, what policies would you do to help encourage people to want to have children? Well, you know, another statement of his is, as long as I'm speaker, Wisconsin will never expand Medicaid. You go, but wait a second. It doesn't matter. It's all about the anger. It's all about the division. And this is where we better come around to the how do we rebuild and revitalize the working class? Democrats, I hope you're paying attention. There's an opportunity here to grab back what was once yours. So today on the program, we no screener. I'm still suffering from COVID, so I have quarantined my studio, which means no screener. We're going to take calls, and when I say, hey, caller, what's your name? What's on your mind? Please listen to the phone, not to the radio, and jump right in. So let's go. Let's see who we got on line one. What's your name? What's on your mind?
Mark from Wisconsin said it's amazing that the Republicans didn't mention banning Rainbow Land song by Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus, even going as far as to ban the Rainbow Connection song by Kermit the Frog from the 1979 movie The Muppet Connection. I mean,
that's amazing. Yeah. You just gave them an idea. Congratulations.
It's just remarkable that what they are freaking out about when it shouldn't be just a matter of course, accept people for what they are.
Yep.
And how many of these Republicans are just closeted and Lindsey Graham, I'm talking about you but yet they go on the attack of gay people and trans people and it just why are the percentage? Because especially for trans people, the percentages of that are so low.
Yep.
Why are they so concerned about it?
Well, because it's divisive. I mean, it's something that they know is going to pit us against each other. It's something that they know that can, you know, the old Jay Gould quote, I can pay half the working class to murder the other half. This is what this is. This is that red meat to get you and me at each other's throats.
It is just ridiculous that, I know that one of my stepsons happens to be gay, but that's just, that's just the way it is. It didn't make me think any less of him. In fact, once he'd accepted his sexuality, he was doing better in school and was actually became active in trying to establish some chapters in his school about a chapter in the school defending LGBTQ rights. I mean it's whatever should make you happy, and that's supposedly the pursuit of happiness is supposed to be core to the American identity.
No, it's the founding of this country, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And they specifically chose happiness over property for a reason. And that's why I love to point that out. We have the right to pursue our happiness. As long as what you do doesn't infringe on me, we're golden. And this is one of those issues, in my view.
Right, it's just ridiculous because they'd like to say, well, they didn't mean happiness, they meant happenstance. What you're saying is pursuit of wealth. And that's just nonsense. They said happiness. And they knew what they're talking about. Said happiness. I mean, it just is. And that's what I got for tonight.
I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for the conversation, brother.
Good stuff. Thanks for the call. Again, this is where we need to be having these conversations. Because look, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not a rainbow flag waving, out in the streets marching, pride person. I'm not, and I don't have to be, and the majority of us don't have to be, but if you want to be. Knock yourself out. And as I said yesterday, what I would really love to see at these pride rallies are a whole bunch of people who look like they're just going to work. Doctors and lawyers and teachers and just regular average, your neighbors showing up in sweatpants and a t-shirt. So that maybe we don't have to have his stepson starting groups to help protect others. Maybe we don't have to have groups. Maybe it's just, we don't care what you do in the confines of your four walls with consenting adults. Maybe we get to a place where we don't have to have these conversations because, you know what? You have the right to do whatever you want. As long as your rights don't infringe on others, it shouldn't matter. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Gonna take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So all over the social media today, the Fox Chiron got people's attention because as was floating under the image of Biden giving a speech and, Trump doing whatever he was doing, it read on screen, "Wannabe dictator speaks at the White House after having his political rival arrested." And you go, that's not reality. That's not honest. That's not factual. It's not fair. It's not none of that. And in fact, Fox even issued a statement that the Chiron was taken down immediately and that it was addressed. I don't know how it was addressed, but that's according to The Hill, that they did take it down immediately, but not before, millions of people saw it. And just so people are on the same page, Joe Biden did not indict Donald Trump. Biden didn't do it. The Democratic Party didn't do it. Democrats didn't do it. There wasn't a politician who did this. It was a grand jury of regular, average, everyday Florida residents. Florida residents. Can I say that again? Florida residents indicted Donald Trump. 23 residents of Miami. They did it. Not Merrick Garland, not Jack Smith, not Kamala Harris, not the left, not the libs, not the media. No, 23 people from Miami who took time off of being on the beach to save the country. So if you want to blame someone, it's pretty simple. Pretty simple. You blame the criminal. We used to think like this. As a country, we used to blame people who did bad things. And I remember that guy, Beretta. It was a TV show. I know a lot of people not old enough to remember. But Beretta, you can't do the crime. Time, don't do the crime. It's simple. Now, here's the funny thing. You've got Lindsey Graham, who has said that he's warning the special counsel that if he indicts Donald Trump on anything in D.C., that January 6th stuff, oh, there's going to be the wagging of the finger. And my mind goes this place. I can't help but think, what would John McCain say of his buddy Lindsey Graham? It's one of those things. He's got to be rolling in the grave. But let's go to the phones. What's your name and what's on your mind?
This is Jack from Merrimack, Wisconsin.
Jack, how are you today? What's on your mind, brother?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, talking about wannabe dictators, there's only one, and that's the one that clearly, if you listen to the evidence at the January 6th Commission hearings that were public, he clearly fomented both violent and political attempted coups on this country. And the second thing I have to say is this is just a wonderful case of them, the opposition using the philosophy of, I believe it was Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's minister of propaganda, who said, accuse the other side of that of which you are guilty.
Yep. So, no, you can bring it here to the U.S. LBJ once said that he wanted to accuse an opponent of having sex with a bull just to hear him deny it. But this kind of stuff works. And it's up to us to get through it and put it where it belongs, in the trash bin. But at the end of the day, Trump is charged appropriately, in my view. But I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
I got to get to an email. Bill sends me this email, said, Rick, you pointed out that you need to point out that Trump's resume would not get him a job at union busting Starbucks. And he goes on the list, Trump by the numbers. Two impeachments, two indictments, 71 charges, felony charges between Manhattan DA and DOJ cases, over 300 classified documents stolen from the White House, 154,000 manufacturing jobs lost during Trump's 4 years, almost 3 million jobs total lost during Trump's term, 2,868,519 votes behind Hillary Clinton, 7,060,347 votes behind Joe Biden, 10 million votes behind Democrats in two elections, and more to come. The name of the loser. Let's go to the phones. What's your name? What's on your mind?
Hey, Rick, it's Alice.
Alice!
So, what I wanted to say was, the actions of the lunatics, you know, performing their little fox outrage is nothing more than performance art, because, you know, we got to keep the base stirred up. And if you really look, and I was sitting there thinking about this earlier today, the entire Republican Party, their platform and everything is based on fantasy.
Yep.
Everything's based on fantasy.
Well, it's based on the narrative that they're the victim.
Right. They're the victims, but everything that they put out is a fantasy. You know, Joe Biden did this. Well, it's a lie, so we can file that under fantasy. Trump is this fantastic, successful billionaire. Again, fantasy. I mean, it's they keep pushing this narrative, we're the victims because we wanted to take away your rights that you fought back and wouldn't let us. So you took and you caused us harm. I mean, everything is a fantasy and a victimization.
Yep.
It's just insane.
I'm right there with you. Appreciate the thoughts.
Have a good evening.
Good stuff. Bill in Santa Fe sent me an email, said, well, what's Trump's defense going to be? Simply, his defense is going to be, I had every right to do it. It's the only one he can really go with. I was the president. I had the right to do it. That's I think, going to be his best defense. Now, he will spaghetti theory this to the umpteenth degree. It was everybody else's fault. I'm the victim. Poor, pitiful me. And there's not going to be really a plan. It's just going to be whatever grabs people's attention at that day. We are going to be inundated with, it's all Joe Biden. It's all, you know, go on. It's the DOJ. It's Merrick Garland. It's, you know, it's the hot dog vendor on the corner. You know, it's the person who came and scrubbed the toilet. You know, I got to tell you, the one thing that's shocking to me, and this is, I digress, the picture of the presidential library in Mar-a-Lago, I got to be honest, I really thought there would have been a golden toilet. I thought that would have been a golden throne to the master himself. That would have, I got to question if that's really his bathroom. It's wow. We are just in one of these moments. Now, here's the thing, and this is what we're going to get a lot of. It's a lot of dueling narratives. Trump's attorney came out and said that the targeting prosecution of a leading political opponent is the type of thing that you see in dictatorships like Cuba and Venezuela. So they're going over there. Anything you do to hold someone accountable, that's tin pot dictatorship, and it's all bad. And then the other part of it is you got Trump coming out and said, if he wins, he's going to appoint a real special prosecutor to go after the...
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 55. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. A blend of clouds and sun again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 76. Lows dip down to about 46. Tomorrow night, mainly clear. Upper 70s, Friday, turning warmer on Saturday with highs in the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 74.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
A nation united under the essential principle of E Pluribus Unum. As affirmed by everything from the Declaration of Independence to our kindergarten teachings of sharing and fairness, ours is a country rooted in constant diversification, expanding equality, and the democratic idea that every voice ought to be included. Our country needs more of all three. This is Jim Hightower saying America is way short of achieving these historic ideals, but shame on those demanding we abandon even striving for them. Confront the charlatans.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Well, this week, some things to look out for this week. If you're someone who gets a lot of packages delivered to your house, could be an interesting couple of months. This Friday, the Teamsters are getting their members, their UPS members, to vote on a strike authorization vote. I expect it to be very high, somewhere in the 95 to 99% range, way up there. And because, look, you know, this is something that Sean O'Brien ran on. They're gonna make that the job of the future. They're gonna help raise the working class up by making sure that those jobs pay, especially at a company that's as wildly profitable as UPS is. And here to share some thoughts on what the authorization vote might look like and what we're hearing about the negotiations, what little is being leaked out. That's why I've asked Michael Sonato to come talk with us. Michael's a labor reporter over at The Guardian U.S. Michael, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick, as always.
So let's start with the authorization vote. Any idea where this is going to go? You agree with me somewhere between 95, 97, 98%?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Sean O'Brien took over the Teamsters kind of running on this. You know, I've covered the anticipation of this. There's been a lot of organizing within the Teamsters union, fighting for this contract. And there's been some really big sticking points. And, you know, one of the biggest of all is, you know, like you said, how profitable UPS has been for the duration of the current contract through the pandemic. You know, UPS workers, we're working through it. We're not, you know, being called heroes by management while they're pocketing, you know, 12, 13 billion a year in profits.
Yep.
You know, the CEO, it's like 27, you know, in the 20s of millions of dollars a year. Those same kinds of pay increases weren't going to the workers. And, you know, there's a lot of issues. So locals have been holding their strike votes, the past week and a half. I think we're expecting the results to come out Friday. I think at the earliest. And I agree with your assessment. I think it's going to be overwhelming. A lot of participation in the vote, and I think it's going to be overwhelmingly in favor of authorizing it. And so we were about 45 days now until the contract expires, and the Teamsters have made it. If you go 1 second past the contract expiration without a tentative agreement in place, they're going to walk out on the job.
Yeah.
If that happens, it's going to be one of the biggest strikes in U.S. history, 340,000 workers all around the U.S. It's a big deal. And from workers I've been talking to, this is on the company, you know, share the profits. They did reach a tentative agreement on a big deal, which was UPS trucks have no air conditioners right now in them. And with the climate getting hotter and, you know, how hot those trucks can get, back of the truck, they have, you know, workers who had their temperatures, they've clocked like, upwards of, I spoke with one out in California. She said she's clocked 150 and the thermometer doesn't go past that in the back of the truck. They're ovens, basically. They're old, and all they're given are these little desk fans for the front of the car. It doesn't really do anything.
And they've also got wind. In UPS's defense, there's also a window. I mean, this is how crazy this sounds, that in this day and age, at this moment, where you cannot find a vehicle on the road that doesn't have air conditioning, you cannot buy a car in this country that has rolled down freaking windows. There's still vehicles on the road doing essential work in this country where the person driving it is sweating their you-know-whats off. And in several cases, people have died from heat exposure while driving these vehicles. It's mind-blowing to me that they don't have it. And look, I remember, you know, the freight contract that I was a part of years ago where we got air conditioning in the trucks. That was like 25, 30 years ago. How is it UPS has not been able to do this just in buying new vehicles, saying the new vehicles are going to have them? How is that possible other than they don't give a rat's behind about their workers?
Yeah, I think it was getting to that point where, I think this issue is picking up similar to what rail workers were fighting for with sick days. And, since then, they've started, the unions have been able to get some sick days, not what they're looking for since Biden stopped them from being able to strike this past December. But I think it was a really, big issue.
Now you bring that up.
It was a big issue last summer. Yeah.
Now you bring Biden up, you bring him into this, and a lot of people really, ticked at Biden about getting involved in that rail strike. And I argue that I never thought there was going to be a strike. I think they could have handled the sick days better. I think there's a lot there. Does Biden get involved if there's a strike here at UPS? Because this would be a major disruptor to our economy. Could UPS and FedEx and other entities pick up the slack?
Obviously, I think there would be big consequences for UPS and businesses that rely on them and whatnot. They've made it abundantly clear the ball is in the court of management of the company. Like, you have the time. They've been very straightforward with what they're asking for. The air conditioners, that's been solved at this point. One of the biggest things that hasn't at this point is they have a two-tiered system right now where part-time workers at UPS, they're getting paid, $15 an hour or right around there. And they're doing the same kind of work as full timers. And, an issue with that as well is during like peak seasons where they need those part timers to fill in for the demand, or like the summer when things pick up and they have to cover like vacation time, they get, a couple dollars more depending on just like the mark. It's called like a market rate adjustment. And then they take it away as soon as they don't need them as much. Yeah. I think that's a big thing right now is the full timers want to see wage increases that are commensurate with how profitable UPS has been, which $12-13 billion in the past few years. During the pandemic, they didn't get any bonuses, hero pay or anything like that. Part-timers, I did a story last year, part-timers got wage cuts because the UPS decided.
I was going to bring that up. Here locally where I live, there are a couple of UPS facilities, and they were paying the inside people, the part-timers, the people who load and unload the trucks, they were paying them $24 an hour. Over the 14 or 15 of whatever the normal rate is. And just on one day, arbitrarily, just snapped it back. And you go, is that not on some level wage theft? Is that on some level? Aren't you supposed to give several months? You got hired in at $24 an hour. Now you go, well, they could quit or they could do all this other stuff. But it just seemed, one, arbitrary, two, unfair, and three, just plain mean. Especially as you point out, this is a massively profitable company who's done billions of dollars in stock buybacks, let alone all the dividends and things they've given out to shareholders. So they've got the money. It's just a matter of them not wanting to give it up.
Yeah, exactly. And, these things have been kind of brewing over the past few years. And I'm sure you remember the last UPS contract 5 years ago. Under Hoffa, workers kind of wanted to strike, and that leadership kind of shoved the agreement down the workers' throats and said, you rejected the agreement, but we're going to pass it anyways. And I think that kind of catalyzed the change of leadership we saw. And, obviously with Sean O'Brien taking over, he's been a lot more aggressive and kind of, you know, in my opinion, a little bit more in tune with the rank and file of what workers have been asking for. Yeah. The pandemic pissed them off. It pissed off, I think, every worker in this country. I think, you know, those things have kind of built a kind of like, you know, camaraderie that I don't think has been at UPS in a long time with workers in different sections that, you know, typically, you know, full timers and haven't really cared about the part timers, but yeah. Now that's kind of, you know, it's a big issue in moving the company forward and you know, growing the Teamsters. And another thing is UPS has like a bad reputation with contracting work out away from Teamsters members, and they're you know, that's another of their demands is that needs to end. You need to bring it back to Teamsters or the people that are doing that work, make them Teamsters, make them, you know, part of the union, stop, you know, exploiting these like little loopholes to cut labor costs, and, you know, pad the pockets
Stop outsourcing everything. You're right. Yeah. That's in a number of places as well. And I'm glad O'Brien's taking this on, but you know, I had an old timer a number of years go tell me, Michael, nothing that brings people together like a strike. And I remember the UPS strike back in 97. And I remember how huge that was, how much it hit the economy and how they came and got some of the things that they wanted. The UPS people I'm talking to, they're full for bear. They want to strike. And this is where I keep coming back. UPS has got to come to the table with something to quash that want. Because I think O'Brien's kind of put himself in a position where he's saying, well, if we don't get what we want, our people are ready to go. I think people are ready to go. So he better bring back something that's gonna tap that down, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think we've seen the past couple of years, workers are, I think, a little bit more, you know, they have the appetite to want to strike and want to demand these things. And the inequality is, you know, just abhorrent. You know, workers are the ones that are dealing with, you know, inflation and the rising costs and getting, you know, price gouged and, you know, wage theft right and left, all these different culminating issues. And, you know, I think the public is in, you know, a big support. I think, you know, with talking, going back to the railroad workers, I don't think the bosses anticipated how much public support would be for those workers and the outrage the continuance of that. You know, I think when we saw that a few months ago with East Palestine, where, you know, those residents are still suffering from what happened there.
No, you're absolutely right. You listen to the Rick Smith Show with Michael Sonato. Michael's a labor reporter over at The Guardian. If you want to check out the work that he does, we'll get links out on social media. You can check that out. I want to change gears a little bit and ask you about this Oxfam report titled Where Hard Work Doesn't Pay Off. Where, you know, because we like to think that we're number one. I mean, you look at these UPS jobs, for some, these are really good jobs. Even for the part-timers, they're not bad. They have health care with, you know, and they are good part-time jobs. They could be much better, and I'm hoping that they make them better. But, you know, I'm looking at this Oxfam report and just showing me this idea that, you know, how we like to thump our chests and say we're number one, we're not anywhere close to number one. In fact, according to this report, we're tied for 32nd with Turkey. And I guess, you know, for you and me, this is old hat. We know this stuff. But the average working person, I don't think, understands just how far working people in this country are behind their peers in other countries.
No, and I don't think it's talked about enough. It's certainly, you know, not brought up in schools how, you know, in that the report kind of like points out the U.S. is the bottom of, you know, they based it on the 38, you know, economically developed countries. U.S. is on the bottom of the barrel when it comes to worker protections, you know, organizing, union rights. We have a terrible unionization rate. you know, like England has, you know, 23-24%. That's more than double of what we have, and it's been declining in the U.S. Italy, where my father's from, it's like 50% or, you know, 30%. All over Europe, it's like large sections. In the U.S., 11%. And a lot of that is just public sector workers. It's abysmal. And it just kind of like paints a picture of just how bleak things are with just how, you know, deregulation and, you know,
all of it, the whole neoliberal agenda, Michael, the deregulation, the privatization, the tax code, the, you know, the hooray for me, all of that stuff has created this environment where the wealthy are doing great. And look, those policies are working exactly. Free trade, open borders, all that stuff working exactly as it was supposed to, making the rich richer and us, we the working people, much poorer. So the question I keep coming back to is, how do we get working people to understand that they're getting screwed, and that maybe we stop worrying about what people are doing in their bedrooms or doing in the bathroom stall next to you, and worry about how bad you're getting robbed daily?
I think we both kind of asked to, you know, maybe a varying question of that every day in terms of like, how do we fix
every day. The mess
up? And yeah, like we're bottom of the barrel on all these things when it comes to workers and, you know, wages in the working class. And yeah, we have the most billionaires. we're the wealthiest country in the world. But we don't have basic social safety nets or services or things like affordable, you know, free healthcare every other country that, you know, in that report basically has it. We don't, like, all every sort of barometer in terms of services.
Unemployment, wages, protections on the job, paid leave, sick leave, vacations, you name it, we're at the bottom of it. But because that's where Americans, damn it. We work hard.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I think the whole Horatio Alger myth that kind of propagated in the early 1900s with the Rockefellers and the Carnegies, that's kind of embedded in American culture and the American psyche. And it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of reckoning to kind of peel back and start reversing some of these troubling trends that we've been living in.
It's going to take us winning one strike at a time, and I'm hoping this UPS thing moves us in that direction. I'm hoping the workers that we see at Starbucks and Amazon and all across this country coming back to the idea that we should be caring about our fellow workers, the idea of rediscovering the concept of solidarity and a prosperous working class. These are themes that I hope we're finally getting back to, Michael, but it's guys like you who are out there doing the good work of educating and reporting, and I appreciate it. Thanks so much, and I look forward to having you come back again anytime soon.
Of course, anytime. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks so much. Michael Sonata, labor reporter over at The Guardian. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, Rick at therickssmithshow.com, or give us a call, 1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Got to talk.
Phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1921. During that summer, the battle waged over the efforts to unionize the southwestern West Virginia coal mines. The miners had been evicted from their company homes and had established tent colonies. One was located at Lick Creek. On this fateful day, state police and company gun thugs raided the Lick Creek camp. The police claimed that members of the tent colony had been shooting at strikebreakers. They arrested 56 men and destroyed the tents and furniture in the camp. One striker was shot down and killed. Later that summer, at their convention in Matewan, West Virginia, the delegates of the United Mine Workers of America adopted a resolution condemning the action. The attack on the tent colony was included in a list of grievances against the mine owners. It described the attack as one of the most brutal murders ever committed in the history of our state by the state police and deputies. Composed of the Baldwin Felts detectives was the attack on the Lick Creek tent colony on June 14, 1921, in which our brother, Alex Breadlove, willfully murdered by the state police while his hands were uplifted and begging for God to have mercy on his soul. The resolution went on to condemn the atrocities against the miners and demand the federal government and governor of West Virginia to restore law to the local police forces. The resolution was sent to the President of the United States, West Virginia's Governor Morgan, and the officials of the American Federation of Labor. It was also sent to Labor and other newspapers.
Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I'm hoping that a strike can be averted at UPS. I've said before, no one really wins in a strike, and we want to make sure that it's the last arrow in the quiver. And I've said this a number of times, but at the end of the day, if you're not getting what you need. If you're not getting what you earn, maybe you got to take that out. Let's go to the phones. What's your name? What's on your mind?
Am I on,
yep.
Rick?
Go.
Yeah. Okay, Rick. You know what the conservatives would say, Rick? They would say, "Well, how come everybody wants to try to get in here if we're at number 31 or 32 or whatever it was?" So that would be the pushback. If it's so bad here, why are they trying to come here?
Yeah, but these are the 38 OECD, the economic, the developed countries, the other 170. Those are the people trying to get here. And look, Mexico is below us on this list, so they're trying to make their lives better too. But here's the thing. Why would we want to compare ourselves to the most desperate on this planet? Shouldn't we be better than that?
Yes, I agree. I agree, Rick. Spot on.
All right, good stuff. Anything else?
No, you're doing a hell of a job, and keep up the good work. I learn so much every night.
I appreciate
it.
Great. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
Great stuff. No, but this is one of these moments where you go, at some point, do we not demand better? At some point, do we not demand... All across, not just at UPS, because look, UPS is a wildly profitable corporation, wildly profitable. And they've been able to abuse that two-tier system for a while. They've been able to divide the workplace between the people who are driving the package cars, which is a tough job. Most people in this country could never do that, could never drive that truck, especially in major cities, with the heat and the weather and the conditions and all of that. And then you've got the people who are inside, the people who work, you know, 3-4 hours a night, 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, the 2 o'clock to 5 or 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning shift for $15 an hour. And they do that because maybe they can get one of those package jobs. When I was a kid, that's how you got those package car driving jobs. You started off throwing boxes inside, at which when I was a younger man, now we're going back years, they didn't have the technology that they have today. But when I was throwing boxes at UPS, they wanted $1,200 an hour coming out of the back of that truck. And a supervisor would stand at the back of your truck with a stopwatch. And they would periodically come by and they would count how many boxes were rolling out off those rollers. And you better be moving at that 1,200 boxes. This is one of those things where these people work their butts off. They make this company huge amounts of money and they earn. I never say the word deserve. They earn every penny that they're demanding. And this is where the rest of us should be saying, you know what?
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough. But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.